Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Arm Women Liberationists and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
But we got a huge deficit. Federal government's got a $4 trillion or $5 trillion deficit. I heard it on the news.
Story out before your foes. I know you're looking for the glory. Yes, I know.
doing there.
Some people say John Kerry has some similarities to an earlier Massachusetts politician.
Some people say, in light of what's happened with the oil for food program, some people say supported by Iran.
Some say, I've heard a couple people say.
Some say that it's a sour grapes book. Some people say it's just too violent. There's too much blood.
Losing streak. The best way to explain it is to say simply because
I was looking around outside, and the truth is that I was the one. So I got locked into all of the analysis and found myself locked into a kind of paralysis. And something was calling, and I almost didn't hear it, but I spent a lot of time being blessed by the spirits. Make you say, don't give up. Hey, it's time to stop your falling. Yeah, you've been down long enough. And can't you hear the spirits calling? Yes, it's the spirit. Can't you hear it? Calling your name, calling your name. Yeah, talking about spirit. Child or an adult, there was absolutely no one I could not insult, so that I could isolate myself somewhere off to the side and continue to juggle all the possible whys. The warmth I once could generate so well had turned into a frozen hell, and all of the discouraging injustices I felt had pinned me somewhere inside a drug-infested cell, where those who told didn't know and those who knew didn't tell, and I could continue to feel sorry for myself. I could continue to feel sorry for myself. I could continue to feel sorry for myself. And then I heard, don't give up. Hey, it's time to stop your falling. Yeah, you've been down long enough. Yeah, can't you hear the spirits calling? Yes, it's the spirit. Can't you hear it? Calling your name, calling your name. Yeah, talking about spirit. Ain't no way overnight to turn your life around. And this ain't the conversation of someone who never falls back down. But no matter how long you've been on trial with the days and the weeks of self-denial, and no matter how many times you tried to make it and found out that right then you just couldn't take it, if you're looking for a loser who found strength and success, remember the spirit of Brother Malcolm X. And know that you can leave all of your mistakes behind the day that you really make up your mind. 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 Come on, brother. Pull on up. Stand on up, hey, don't give up. Yes, it's time to stop your falling. Calling on you, you've been falling down long enough. Yes, and can't you hear the spirit calling? Hear the spirit calling. Stop your falling. Yes, and you've been down long enough. Yeah, can't you hear the spirits calling? Hear the spirits calling.
Church on Sunday morning, Grandma's hands play the tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Scotty, why you run so fast? Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands, they keep on calling. Local unwed mother, Grandma's
Tonight, it's Wednesday, the 2nd of the month. Damn, this is July already. Wow, I missed a couple days. Reminds me of college, missed a couple weeks. But hey, that was back then, this is now. Anyway, I'm going to quit running my mouth and bring the beautiful, the one, the only woman that shocks the world over the internet. It is my co-host, Antoinette from Delaware. Hello, Antoinette. How are you doing tonight, sweetie?
Hello, Ron. What do you mean, shock the world all over Delaware? I mean, all over the world.
Exactly. All over all you're talking over all the world. That's when we talk to the planet.
And I shock them, huh? And
yeah,
I shock them?
Shock them with your utter beauty. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, really?
The beauty of your voice just blows their minds. You can't handle it.
Uh-huh.
Gotta beat them up with a stick.
Yes.
Well, you don't have to use a stick more. Use a taser. They work out pretty good. But anyway.
Pardon me?
If you quit, you don't, they don't use sticks anymore to beat people up. They shoot them with a taser.
Oh, okay.
They don't even make contact anymore. They got effortless fighting.
Yeah.
Shock them into submission.
And in Indiana, they take your blood.
Why
Indiana,
not?
You...
Would...
Yeah. Indiana, the police have become phlebotomists, and also, they're also peacekeepers, where they keep peace for the corporation, not for the people.
No, it's for the people. We had whatever we are.
Well, you go through Indiana and you drive and you let them stop you. And you let the police practice taking your blood and see how much for you they're for. But we have a caller that has been on hold. I know you will. We have a caller that's been on hold. And that wants to speak with us.
I'm sorry. Well, bring them
that's
on.
Okay.
Let's talk to them. I ain't scared of nobody. Let's go. It's Friday.
Okay, hello, 1111111111.
Yeah, 1111111 goes on. Ad
and on and on.
Hmm? How you guys doing?
Yeah.
All right,
how
are you,
Joe?
You know what, Ron, what a coincidence. The name of your show is the same as your name. How about that?
I know, it does something.
I don't know how it got like that, but wow.
I tell you, insane people.
You know, I got a question for both of you. I was reading the description page.
For sure.
And have you had anybody call in and just say, what the hell are you guys talking about? We're in a tyranny. The government is good. I don't know what you guys mean. Have you ever had anybody like that?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we did. We had Beasley who did it the other night. Yeah, Beasley did it the other night. Uh-huh.
Beasley did it?
Who did it?
Oh, okay.
Beasley.
Oh, Beasley's trying to be a freaking dope again. Because I say to him, you're just trying to make controversy. He says, no, I really when I say something, I really believe it. So, and I told him, on a Monday he'll say one thing, and on Tuesday he'll say something else. He knows differently. Now he's going to try to pull that shit.
I muted him out. I challenges everybody talks to, everybody. The whole point of what I do in this show is, it ain't like a great day as well as parents. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We the back day, they ain't got me east yet, man. I ain't stopping being that way at times. But, when we're talking serious to serious shit, we're trying to figure out what this is. We're trying to make sure, we're trying to get other perspectives from other people that see news all around the country and wherever else they're calling. I don't care where you're at. Let me know what's going on in your neighborhood. That's the whole thing. So we kind of figure out play-by-play action all around the whole country instead of just, one place. Today it's Springfield, Missouri. Somebody threw a rock and hit a fucker in the head. I mean, do you want to hear that shit all night? No. Mm. Because, most of your local newscasts are very short. They're actually 10 minutes long. The rest is all chopped up with bullshit and commercials. So, I'm saying this, the whole thing is we're just trying to figure it out.
Well,
I'm not preaching nothing. I have fact to this. If I had fact, I wouldn't be asking the questions.
Well, both of you know when I get on the show at times, I like to start controversy by being contradictory to what the topic is. But I try to do it in a way to try to find out, not just to get controversy, but to try to find out what the real basis is of the opinions that people have,
Exactly.
So.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm looking for,
Yeah.
And I watch how people actually, the trolls come on and they say all kinds of bullshit. I'll talk to them, Well, I did on Perry's show. I started talking to you. You remember? Look, here's the deal. What do you guys get off on this shit? You are showing me exactly what I'm figuring out. By being stupid and not paying attention to the real issue, which I know sounds like your old man preaching to you and shit like that, but that's not the real fact here, man. This is your shit. Well, this is what we're trying to discuss. But, you want to look fucking bullshit. by calling me a motherfucker or whatever, or the N-word, and all that crazy shit. Well, that don't work. That's old shit, dude. Come up with something better. You know?
Sometimes
well,
trolls
you know,
can be
I was on
so much fun.
And they sent me here. You know, it's not going to break down. I love it. It's great. I still get them here now. You know,
yeah. So you really haven't had too many people then actually just get on the show and just try to contradict what you have to say. Or, you know, I don't know if they're trying to do it in order
to
be, you know.
Well, Beasley does.
Well, yeah, I don't know about Beasley.
You know,
Beasley, like I said, on a Monday he's for I don't know, abortion. Tuesday he's against it. I don't know who the fuck's running it with him. The thing is, I don't know.
I have nothing against the guy. He's entertaining. I give him that. You know
that
what I mean?
Is.
I have nothing against him.
That
he's
is.
He's just entertaining to me. But I just can't play that shit all the time, man. It's, you know, it's no. Then I'll get my listeners to hate me. Well, Ron, you got this motherfucker come on, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Well,
as long as somebody
that's entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody can contribute to a show, then cool. You know, if they do it in a controversial way. Personally, I don't have a problem with it as long as they're actually contributing information or making people open up. But if a person just wants to do it just to fucking get the attention, hey, not my shit.
Right, exactly, man, exactly.
That's why I think he and the Jew get along well now.
But how you been doing, man? I ain't heard you in a long while. I think I've seen you on Vern's show once, maybe.
Yeah, I don't call in the Vern show because I can't get in through that number. But I have gone in the chat room. The thing is, Jesus, where's my mind? Okay, I don't know. All right. So, getting back to, I guess as long as nobody really calls in and really says you don't know what you're talking about and is sincere about it, because I've been on shows where people just don't think that anything is happening or even though they know something's going wrong, they don't really know to the fullest extent of how bad it is, of how bad their liberties have been taken away. So I was just curious because I know that you're a person and you and Antoinette, you like to try to let people know bullshit is happening here in America, and I wanted to find out if somebody said, no, it isn't. This is great. I like having my blood taken in Indiana. You know, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Right.
So.
Did you see that story?
Not that specific story, but I remember about 6 months ago they were doing it in other places.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, they do the DNA swab now and all that. Well, I mean, this is straight up communism.
Okay.
I mean, come on, man. This cannot be happening. We have done nothing wrong. That's what really pisses me. What the fuck has the people done to these fuckers to be this way to us?
You mean
we're not
what
the
people?
Ones. You're trying to protect us. You're going to victimize us to protect us? Come on, man. That just pisses me off.
That's the thing that people don't really get. Okay, now they may say the government is corrupt, but they don't truly understand that the government is truly trying
to
bring down America.
It's the fear.
Yeah, well, it's terrorism. They're fearing terrorism. And I have to tell people, you have a greater chance, of dying from a bee sting or falling in your bathtub and dying from that than from a terrorist act.
Yeah.
Right.
And then if you take a look at Iraq and what's happening nowadays, do you really think that the American superpower was so stupid that they left behind millions of dollars of Humvees, helicopters, and other military equipment and just left it there just so ISIS could pick it up? They did it in order for ISIS to pick it up. They didn't do it just because it was stupidity in the Pentagon. You don't leave behind. If you can carry over billions of dollars of equipment, you can carry it on back on the same cargo ships.
Right.
So if they left
it
there, they left it there for ISIS.
The other funny one is I read an article last night on the show. I think it was last night I read it. How the politics anymore, all of them are paranoid of each other. Not only us, we're paranoid of each other.
Yes.
Who's paranoid of each other?
Well,
the government
the politicians are
afraid of us.
Right.
Joe, have you heard about...
I'm too big.
I'm sorry, I missed out on what both of you were saying.
I'm sorry. I started over you and then I stopped, but I'm sorry. Joe, have you heard about the move Potter Shockland moved to criminalize nonviolent protests. So they don't even want us to protest anymore.
I saw
even
the headline.
In a nonviolent way. I'm going to play this clip. It's 4 minutes. Do you mind?
No, sure. No, 4 minutes? No. I'll learn something. I think
okay.
I saw the headline today, but I didn't get into it.
Okay. Well, let me let you hear this.
Okay.
All right.
It was less than a year after September 11th, and I was at the Chicago Tribune writing about shootings and murders, and it was leaving me feeling pretty dark and depressed. I'd done some activism in college, so I decided to help a local group hang door knockers against animal testing. I thought it'd be a safe way to do something positive, but of course I have the absolute worst luck ever, and we were all arrested. Police took this blurry photo of me holding leaflets as evidence. My charges were dismissed, but a few weeks later, two FBI agents knocked on my door, and they told me that unless I helped them by spying on protest groups, they would put me on a domestic terrorist list. I'd love to tell you that I didn't flinch, but I was terrified, and when my fear subsided, I became obsessed with finding out how this happened, how animal rights and environmental activists who have never injured anyone could become the FBI's number one domestic terrorism threat. A few years later, I was invited to testify before Congress about my reporting, and I told lawmakers that while everybody's talking about going green, some people are risking their lives to defend forests and to stop oil pipelines. They're physically putting their bodies on the line between the whalers' harpoons and the whales. These are everyday people, like these protesters in Italy who spontaneously climbed over barbed wire fences to rescue beagles from animal testing. And these movements have been incredibly effective and popular. So in 1985, their opponents made up a new word, eco-terrorist, to shift how we view them. They just made it up. Now these companies have backed new laws like the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, which turns activism into terrorism if it causes a loss of profits. Now most people never even heard about this law, including members of Congress. Less than 1% were in the room when it passed the House. The rest were outside at a new memorial. They were praising Dr. King as his style of activism was branded as terrorism if done in the name of animals or the environment. Supporters say laws like this are needed for the extremists, vandals, the arsonists, the radicals. But right now, companies like TransCanada are briefing police in presentations like this one about how to prosecute nonviolent protesters as terrorists. The FBI's training documents on eco-terrorism are not about violence, they're about public relations. Today, in multiple countries, corporations are pushing new laws that make it illegal to photograph animal cruelty on their farms. The latest was in Idaho just 2 weeks ago, and today we released a lawsuit challenging it as unconstitutional as a threat to journalism. The first of these ag-gag prosecutions, as they're called, was a young woman named Amy Meyer, and Amy saw a sick cow being moved by a bulldozer outside of a slaughterhouse as she was on the public street. And Amy did what any of us would. She filmed it. When I found out about her story, I wrote about it, and within 24 hours it created such an uproar that the prosecutors just dropped all the charges. But apparently even exposing stuff like that is a threat. Through the Freedom of Information Act, I learned that the Counterterrorism Unit has been monitoring my articles and speeches like this one. They even included this nice little write-up of my book. They described it as compelling and well-written. Blurb on the next book, right? The point of all of this is to make us afraid. But as a journalist, I have an unwavering faith in the power of education, our best weapon, is sunlight. Dostoevsky wrote that the whole work of man is to prove he's a man and not a piano key. Over and over throughout history, people in power have used fear to silence the truth and to silence dissent. It's time we strike a new note. Thank you.
Well, that was pretty good.
Yeah, so there you have it. The move to take away.
No, that's going to be the eventual end game, to make everything a terrorist. I think I said that about 3 years ago, knowing where the government was headed. If you're going to make almost everything a criminal act, the next step is to make that criminal act a worse criminal act, like a hate crime, and then after that, terrorism. So that you're going to have domestic terrorists, domestic violence is a terrorist act, to be offensive in the workplace will be verbal terrorism. Mark my words, okay? You heard it here first.
Well, thank you, Joe. I'm going to bring Georgia Firefox News on the line with us.
All right.
Hello, George.
What's up there, Antoinette and Ron? Just a minute.
Hey,
I'll
what's
get
up,
George.
Man?
1 second. What was that? What was that, Doc?
I just played a clip on Powder stating that they want to take away a shocking move to criminalize nonviolent protest.
Criminalize.
Yeah, they're going to make your imitations, George. An act of terrorism pretty soon, I hope.
Excuse me? baking powder? Excuse me? What was that? And who was that, by the way? Okay, who are you and why did you say that?
Only because I've heard your imitations before and, you know, I figured, you know, Daffy Duck, he's a terrorist.
Well, they're even going to make the Looney Tunes.
Fuck ass. Oh,
yes.
You're calling Daffy Duck a terrorist. How dare you, sir?
Yes. But, George, remember I sent you the article on they want to ban Looney Tunes.
I was looking at that earlier today when I was sitting in front of my computer going over some research for tonight's show, which I ended up abandoning because there wasn't enough information that I could find. So I was looking at that article.
I'm in the mood for some Greek music. I hope I can get here some Greek music tonight. I'm going to see if our Greek friend is out there and hear some that belly dancing music. You guys ever hear, listen to that stuff much? But check this out. Let's see if he's got anything going. What's up, Mike?
Thanks, Ron.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
How are you?
How are you? Hold on. I didn't even have the keyboard fired up. You didn't.
Line?
Yes, hold on. I'm firing up the keyboard right now. It's booting. Whatever happened in the old days. Now this thing has to. It says loading factory resources.
This is my cord short now, man.
No, it's all the electronic stuff.
Yeah, it's booting, man.
It's booting
it's
up.
Configuring. Yeah.
Oh, God. So I should have had it ready.
Sorry, Joe, I'm trying to find the link for you. For the Looney Tunes, how they want to...
Well, hey, if you guys didn't catch this first clip,
too violent.
Do you want to play it again? Let George and Mike catch that. Want to play it again? This is a short clip. It ain't that long.
Yeah, sure. Let me go back in there.
Yeah, check this out. Listen to this clip. See what you get out of it.
Okay. There you go.
It was less than a year after September 11th, and I was at the Chicago Tribune writing about shootings and murders, and it was leaving me feeling pretty dark and depressed. I'd done some activism in college, so I decided to help a local group hang door knockers against animal testing. I thought it'd be a safe way to do something positive, but of course I have the absolute worst luck ever, and we were all arrested. Police took this blurry photo of me holding leaflets as evidence. My charges were dismissed, but a few weeks later, two FBI agents knocked on my door, and they told me that unless I helped them by spying on protest groups, they would put me on a domestic terrorist list. I'd love to tell you that I didn't flinch, but I was terrified, and when my fears subsided, I became obsessed with finding out how this happened, how animal rights and environmental activists who have never injured anyone could become the FBI's number one domestic terrorism threat. A few years later, I was invited to testify before Congress about my reporting. And I told lawmakers that while everybody's talking about going green, some people are risking their lives to defend forests and to stop oil pipelines. They're physically putting their bodies on the line between the whalers' harpoons and the whales. These are everyday people, like these protesters in Italy who spontaneously climbed over barbed wire fences to rescue beagles from animal testing. And these movements have been incredibly effective and popular. So in 1985, their opponents made up a new word, eco-terrorist, to shift how we view them. They just made it up. Now these companies have backed new laws like the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, which turns activism into terrorism if it causes a loss of profits. Now most people never even heard about this law, including members of Congress. Less than 1% were in the room when it passed the House. The rest were outside at a new memorial. They were praising Dr. King as his style of activism was branded as terrorism if done in the name of animals or the environment. Supporters say laws like this are needed for the extremists, vandals, the arsonists, the radicals. But right now, companies like TransCanada are briefing police in presentations like this one about how to prosecute nonviolent protesters as terrorists. The FBI's training documents on eco-terrorism are not about violence, they're about public relations. Today, in multiple countries, corporations are pushing new laws that make it illegal to photograph animal cruelty on their farms. The latest was in Idaho just 2 weeks ago, and today we released a lawsuit challenging it as unconstitutional as a threat to journalism. The first of these ag-gag prosecutions, as they're called, was a young woman named Amy Meyer. And Amy saw a sick cow being moved by a bulldozer outside of a slaughterhouse as she was on the public street. And Amy did what any of us would. She filmed it. When I found out about her story, I wrote about it, and within 24 hours it created such an uproar that the prosecutors just dropped all the charges. But apparently even exposing stuff like that is a threat. Through the Freedom of Information Act, I learned that the Counterterrorism Unit has been monitoring my articles and speeches like this one. They even included this nice little write-up of my book. They described it as compelling and well-written. Blurb on the next book, right? The point of all of this is to make us afraid. But as a journalist, I have an unwavering faith in the power of education. Our best weapon is sunlight. Dostoevsky wrote that the whole work of man is to prove he's a man and not a piano key. Over and over throughout history, people in power have used fear to silence the truth and to silence dissent. It's time we strike a new note. Thank you.
Okay, it's not Greek.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite ones, though.
What the Samuel L. Jackson is this?
If I only had a brain.
Well, there you go. That's why I can't figure out what it was. I ain't got one.
Don't you remember?
It cost too much money. Yeah, I got it now. But I never remember.
All right.
Yeah, it's been a while. You got to remember, when I start my show, I go into the Oz. I don't, you know, I'm in the Oz, man. Before I start the show. Yep. The Wizard of Oz. Oh, he's
the Wizard of
Oz. Behind the curtain. Yeah, the guy behind the curtain. Reality. Turn into a children's classic.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Isn't that lovely?
Unbelievable.
But,
okay, unfortunately, I cannot find that link. So, it looks like I'm going to have to just Google it. Because I don't see it in my email anymore.
Google does not sound like a good word.
Pardon
you
me?
Know, Google. Google. It's, you know, know.
But
she's been Googlified.
I think it reminds me of like Red. Red Fox. You know.
Plays
the junk man. In his his sister-in-law come in. What's her name? I remember that. Sanford's Son. I mean, the junkyard thing, you know.
What's
who
his name?
The hell was that?
When his wife, when he said, I'm coming, I'll be there soon. What was his wife's name?
Elizabeth. I remember that.
Elizabeth.
It was Elizabeth.
He's holding his heart, screaming.
Right,
I'm coming,
right.
Elizabeth, I'm coming.
Yeah, yeah. Esther.
I'm
Joe,
you
left
the chat room and I put
Esther,
the link in there. Excuse me, gentlemen.
But she called him a googly fish-eyed googly. See, googly fish-eyed, you know, something. That was a googly fish-eyed, yeah. Googly.
Yeah, this is the article you sent me, Antoinette.
Yes, I was.
I know.
I wanted to send it to him. Oh, well, you could have gave me the link.
Well,
but
I was
not
in the kitchen when you were looking
it.
For it, dear. I was getting a cup of coffee.
Oh, okay. And Ron has got his
the hookah
generator.
Let me smoke his cigarette. Let me put something to you, okay?
Okay.
First of all, I want to respond to what Ron played, that audio clip.
Mm-hmm.
There
don't
is nothing.
Antoinette played that. I wasn't there. I'm innocent.
Okay.
George.
All right, George.
George.
Yes.
Did you get your coffee?
Yeah, actually I did.
All right.
That's why I'm sitting in front of my computer, because in order to come back with the coffee, I have to sit down at my desk.
Coffee does sound good right about now. I really shouldn't drink now, but it does sound damn good. Shit.
Trust me when I say I'm a coffee drinker. I can go to, as soon as I get done with your show tonight, and I lay down, as soon as I close my eyes, within minutes, I'm asleep.
Yeah,
coffee
that's what
does not work with me anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't keep me awake.
Well, that's because the body builds up a tolerance, just like with certain medications. Body builds up a tolerance.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I want to get back to responding to that audio clip, Ron. You know, it doesn't surprise me that they did this to him. Okay? Because at that time, now think about this, everybody. At the time, we were still pretty scared, you know, nervous. We were kind of walking on eggshells around this country because of what happened on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, a lot of groups, a lot of students, a lot of people in general that were trying to do, you know, something constructive and positive were being threatened with arrest, being put on terror watch lists. I was actively in the military at the time, and I got threatened with it. I had a politician look me straight in the eye and say, I will contact the FBI right now and have you put on the terror watch list if you don't sit down and shut up. Said it to me just like that.
Yeah,
and
that's
was,
the whole purpose.
And I turn around. Now, mind you, I was in civvies.
That's the whole purpose.
My IQ wallet.
Put you on that terrorist list in order to make you comply. The 13 Muslims won a lawsuit just recently because the FBI did the same thing to them. They said, we'll put you on the terrorist no-fly list, but we'll take you off of it if you become our snitches. They sued the government, and they won. So something has happened. And if more people stood up, especially through lawsuits, then maybe, and I'm only saying maybe, what's happening now in America can be reversed, at least to some degree.
Well, they'd have to knock the pressure off. You know, it's like Prohibition. The problem they have with Prohibition was they couldn't find enough jurors to convict anybody because most of the people were drinkers. You know?
Yeah.
But I know it sounds crazy, but that's a fact. I mean, it's crazy as shit. but
that's okay with me. I
think everybody's so paranoid of every little thing, man, you know.
That's the whole thing. They want to make America very paranoid. Like I said before, you have the odds of your dying of a terrorist, maybe not now because of ISIS, but the odds before in the last 11 years, last 13 years, is less than dying from an allergy to a honeybee sting or dying in your bathtub from a fall. This bullshit
right.
about terrorism is it's just that. Bullshit.
Right.
Yes, I don't think George was finished making his statement. George?
I'm sorry, George. Let me cut you off.
That's okay. I didn't need to say anything further. I'm good.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's the whole,
it disappeared.
Yeah, that's the whole point of his show, Joe. I mean, Ron is to let people know that all of this is bullshit. We're all in a prison state, especially the state of mind, which is all prison. And we're allowing the government to get away with it because, number one, as I've always said, people are stupid and people are apathetic. That's why people keep voting in the same morons every election cycle. Same people.
Yeah.
Even
why don't, that's why I don't vote, man. I don't buy it no more. I just don't, you know, to me, what's the sense of it? It's always the same result you don't expect, you know, any difference. You know, everybody thought Obama was going to make some changes and shit. Yeah, he made them, not in your favor, but he changed them. You know, so he didn't lie to you.
Well, he lied to them,
you know,
though. Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course he did, but, I mean, he didn't close the tunnel like he said, but his term ain't over yet.
He didn't do anything.
He got rid of some people out of there. He got rid of some inmates. You know?
Yeah, especially for Bergdahl.
Since
he
the dollar didn't
give me
class, he started teaching people how to barter. He's bartering. You know, it was on Craigslist, I think. I don't know. That's the shit, Jesus. And then this IRS scandal, that's another one that's really got me cracking up laughing.
Yeah.
Can't find the hard drive, computer crash. Right. Well, what about the ISP and all the other motherfuckers that received them and transmitted them? You know,
that
makes it funnier than hell.
It's more than ludicrous. On the Mark Levin show, he had people call in who work in the government in the IT divisions of the various agencies. They called in and they said, there's no way. Now, these people didn't know each other. They just called in independently from their respective states. And they said, no way could this happen. Because every government agency has a backup. They have a redundancy plan. It's mirrored. And if one server crashes, you've got another one that instantly takes over. And you've got to be behind that. So this idea of Lois Lerner's emails and not only is her emails, but her computer crashing on the same day or within the same time period is about as credulous as all three towers of the World Trade Center falling down all at the same time.
That's what I said, man. Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
There's all a bunch of crap.
I almost want to ask you, would you really believe this bullshit? Why would you be in the business to report that? You know, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
You know why they probably do it? They're probably following Goebbels' example. Either it's Goebbels or forget the other guy in Germany who was the Minister of Propaganda.
Goebbels.
Who was it?
Joseph Goebbels.
Goebbels, okay. He said the bigger the lie, the better it will be consumed. The more it will be believed. So the bigger the lie...
I'm sorry, I'm being rude. Joe, this is Mike. Mike, this is Joe. I'm talking to you.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, people.
How are you?
Okay. So
and
that's
the other
one.
Guy is George from Firefox News.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, if the lie is so big, people will say it has to be the truth, because they wouldn't have made up something so ridiculous.
Too big to fail.
Yeah, too big of a lie to fail. Let's bail out the liars.
Shit. Oh, my God. What in the fuck is this world coming to, man?
No.
Wow. Man, oh, man.
But I've met a lot of people recently in the past year or so that I didn't think would have been awakened. I didn't think would have been enlightened. I met some young people, some middle-aged people, some older people, various events, and they actually do believe in the international bankers having some influence. They do believe that America's heading for the toilet. So it's encouraging to know that there are people who are outside, you know, the people that I ordinarily hang around with, that do feel this way. So it makes me feel good to a degree.
Well, you know, wherever I go when I deal with money with people, I always make jokes and everything about it, you know. I like to say, well, you know, will this be good when the collapse comes? You know, this paper, will it be any good when the collapse comes? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, when it comes, the end comes, you know, the no more money thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll never happen. You know, a lot of people are lost. You know, but I do run into some that just, you know, well, yeah, I know. Take worse shit now, man. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, well, they don't really, they're awakened, but they don't really think that the great nation of America is doomed to the degree that it happened in Zimbabwe or Germany or Bosnia. They think that we're pretty much immune to anything because we've never really felt pain outside of 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. Okay,
mm-hmm.
A lot of other countries, they have felt the pain on their own shores. They've had to fight battles on their own shores. So they know the consequences of battle and what happens when an authoritarian government takes over. But we haven't had that yet. So we keep thinking, well, we're a superpower, and we're warmongers anyway. I mean, most Americans, as long as we're winning, we don't care who we bomb. You know, well, we're
yeah.
You know.
But, I don't know, man. This, like I said, it's getting to the point now. It's just like pretty scary, you know.
Very scary. I mean, the handwriting is not only on the wall. I mean, it's like graffiti in your face. Like somebody took a spray can and spray painted your ass with the bullshit. And people,
it's not only on your walls; it's on your windows too.
You got graffiti on your windows.
Yeah, you know, it's on your windows too because. You can't see. You can only see the persona that they want you to see.
Yeah. And that's why they keep voting in the same assholes every time.
I don't believe in the voting. I believe that they're selected. They're not elected.
Well, they're selected to be elected. Everybody who is a candidate has been selected. Otherwise, they really wouldn't be up there in the forefront. They wouldn't have the money to really make the impression on people as those who have the Republican machine and the Democrat machine behind them. Hasn't anybody ever questioned why somebody would pay $2 million for a job that pays $160,000?
Some people are on power trips.
Well, a lot of money is given to them, though.
Oh,
sure.
They want to mend it for favors. They
of course.
They want to call them some favors once they get in there. Yeah.
That's my question. Why?
Them
I mean,
man,
because
they start waiting before you become president.
No, I can understand why the candidate wants to spend $2 million if he's getting campaign donations and he really doesn't have to pay back too much. What I'm asking for is why are people taking a look at it and thinking of it as normal? Why do you want to reelect somebody who, in a $160,000 job, is paying $2 million, $5 million to have the job? You don't even know this guy. You may have sent him emails, you may have written letters to him, but you don't know him.
Well, first I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to make my comment. Real Spill in the chat room said the Treaty of Verona is still in operation today, known as the Patriot Act, which I think is a good point. My comment was, when it came to the voting, is that the agenda doesn't change no matter who's in office. And, you know, for anyone to be able to see, look at from Bush to Obama. The agenda stayed the same. The only thing they did was change the puppet state.
Well, very true. And you can go prior to Bush. If you, people don't know that Clinton bombed Iraq and Clinton bombed Bosnia.
Yes.
I think people know about Bosnia. They don't know that Clinton also bombed Iraq. So, I mean, the agenda has been the same for decades. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the reason why I say, you know, if it was about us doing the selection of who we wanted in, then if you have a candidate that stands up and says, I'm against this, I'm against that, no, we're not going to have this anymore, he's not going to even make it that far up to the ladder to even get into the election unless it's a write-in.
Well, that's the thing.
But they're going to make sure that he doesn't get in because it's already planned. They already have them groomed and everything, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, they have them groomed, in my opinion, also. If you write them in, see, enough people, that's the whole thing. You could write people in, but people are so brainwashed, they don't do that. They don't use that option. They keep voting Democrat or Republican. That's, all right. Keep doing it, people.
Which is the same thing. They're the same thing. The only thing, they both change their hats when it comes to fitting into the agenda that they know that they want. I mean, look, we had 8 years of Bush. Now we're going to have, which was Republican. Now we're going to have 8 years of Democrat. So what's it going to be, eight years next of Republican?
Well, unless, of course.
You know, I mean, they're just going to play the mind game.
And if you thought Obama was, if you thought Obama was bad, wait till Hillary gets in, if she does.
Yeah, but I don't look for Hillary to get in. I look for it to be a Republican.
Yeah.
It's all a game.
Yep. Yeah, it is true. Game of death.
And they're going to say, you know, oh, look at how bad the Republicans did and, you know, what they did as they did with Bush. So then, oh, of course, you got to have a Democrat come in to fix it all. So now it's going to be, oh, look how bad the Democrats messed it up. Oh, well, here comes the Republicans to the rescue. And they'll just continue on with that cycle, and everyone will just fall right in and just run to the polls and, oh, you know, my party is going to do it. My party's going to do it. So they have you by divisions. There we go again, you know, the parties. Now, that's my opinion. Now, people can think what they want, but that's mine.
And Antoinette, on behalf of all of us here on Talk Radio, we'd like to thank you very much for your opinion. Thank you very much. Please pick up a cookie before you leave at the door. There's a table right there. Let's take your pick. Of course we respect your opinion. Come on. Make it sound like that.
Check your papers with the comrades by the door before you pick up a cookie.
No.
Well, your papers in order, Fräulein.
Joe, I'm working with a candidate right now that's on the outs with the Republican Party because he's independent and he does what's right. And because of that, they're bypassing him and choosing somebody else to run for a Senate seat who, in my opinion, will make a better puppet for them, somebody they can stick their hand up inside and it's wrong.
Pull the strings, yeah.
And the decision that they made to back this other guy is wrong. He's a town councilman, whereas the other guy is a Vietnam veteran, combat veteran, a retired detective, state police. He served as a state assemblyman twice, spotless record. This is who we should have in the Senate seat, not a beginner that's going to bow down to the system. And, you know, this is how it works. And they, of course, put all their money behind the other guy, the state Republican Party. That's how they did it. And they're saying, here, you know, oh, look, you have access to $1 million once you get... No, man, it's not supposed to work like that. So now, for the past 3 days, I've been going door-to-door collecting signatures. We have to come up with 2,000 signatures by the 9th to hold a primary. But this is the way the people are supposed to make the decision. They don't want that. They want to be able to choose. It's wrong. So I'm sure I'm going to catch flack for standing up and backing him because I'm a committeeman, but oh well. So there are good politicians that are out there. Finding them and getting them in office, it's not so easy.
Well, remember we had Ron Paul running. And I have a speech that Ron Paul had given. If you give me a second, I will pull it up for you and play that. But we kicked Ron Paul. You know, well, we didn't, you know. Of course, they didn't want Ron Paul, right?
Well, that was a concerted effort against Ron Paul. You're right about that.
Yeah.
And if you give me a second, here it is. I'm going to play Ron Paul's speech. And maybe it doesn't want to play. It's on.
But the problem is we need 435 Ron Pauls or constitutionalists or people who do believe in true liberty and freedom, because if you have one maverick in there, or two mavericks, or three mavericks, or four mavericks, the bills don't even get out of committee.
No, they don't. They'll just look at you, smile, and that's it.
And that's
so
all.
No matter what you say, you're outnumbered and you're...
Right.
You're sidelined.
Mm-hmm.
The very word...
Oh, I think I just said it. Darn it. I'm sorry, y'all.
What happened tonight? I don't see any trolls. There's no attack of the trolls tonight.
Maybe
don't
it's too early.
Don't call them.
I'm not saying a word. Nope, they can stay where they are. That's fine.
No, because he is storming. And
the very
I
word secrecy is repugnant
there you
in
go.
A free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it is
right about that.
Control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know.
Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. You don't change your ways. I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefields of Vietnam, making the poor white and Negro bear the heaviest burden both at the front and at home. Though the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration, that's their business. But I'm afraid that I know that justice is indivisible. injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We made the wrong diagnosis. We should change the treatment. So we're not making progress there, and we should come home. The weapons weren't there, and we went in under UN resolutions, and our national security was not threatened. We're more threatened now by staying.
We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance. Confidence that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent, free and independent, free and independent, free and independent.
I'm Ron Paul. I'm a congressman from Texas, serving in my 10th term. I am the champion of the Constitution.
That's my boy.
We now promote preemptive war. I do not believe that's part of the American tradition. We in the past have always declared war in the defense of our liberties or go to aid somebody. But now we have accepted the principle of preemptive war. We have rejected the just war theory of Christianity. And now, tonight, we hear that we're not even willing to remove from the table a preemptive nuclear strike against a country that has done no harm to us directly and is no threat to our national security. I mean, we have to come to our senses about this issue of war and preemption and go back to traditions and our Constitution and defend our liberties and defend our rights, but not to think that we can change the world by force of arms and to start war.
The people who say there will be a bloodbath are the ones who said it would be a cakewalk, it would be a slam dunk, and that it would be paid for by oil. Why believe them? They've been wrong on everything they've said. So why not ask the people who advise not to go into the region and into the war? The war has not gone well one bit. Yes, I would leave completely. Why leave the troops in the region? It was the fact that we had troops in Saudi Arabia was one of the three reasons given for the attack on 9/11. So why leave them in the region? They don't want our troops on the Arabian Peninsula. We have no need for our national security to have troops on the Arabian Peninsula. And going into Iraq and Afghanistan and threatening Iran is the worst thing we can do for our national security. I am less safe. The American people are less safe for this. It's the policy that is wrong. Tactical movements and shifting troops around and taking in 30 more and reducing by 5, totally irrelevant. We need a new foreign policy that said we ought to mind our own business, bring our troops home, defend this country, defend our borders.
So if So, Congressman Paul, and I'd like you to take 30 seconds to answer this. You're basically saying that we should take our marching orders from Al-Qaeda. If they want us off the Arabian Peninsula, we should leave?
No! I'm saying we should take our marching orders from our Constitution. We should not go to war. We should not go to war without a declaration. We should not go to war when it's an aggressive war. This is an aggressive invasion. We've committed the invasion of this war, and it's illegal under international law. The American people didn't go in. A few people advising this administration, a small number of people called the neoconservatives, hijacked our foreign policy. They're responsible, not the American people. They're not responsible. We shouldn't punish them.
Congressman, we are one nation. We can't be divided. We have to be one nation under God. That means if we make a mistake, we make it as a single country, the United States of America, not the divided states of America.
When we make a mistake, it is the obligation of the people through their representatives to correct the mistake, not to continue the mistake.
Okay, I'm lost. Am I lost or what?
No, you're still here.
What are you lost about, Ron?
This is Ron.
Pardon me?
This is
we
Ron.
We hear you, Ron.
Okay. It's
oh,
over.
I heard you. Yes, I believe it is.
I just heard that song. I didn't know. Well, that was, yeah,
it's over.
And that was the background, the patriotic background in the background. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the filler, the music filler.
Yeah, I like the music.
Yeah.
Yes, Iggy had asked in the chat room, was Saudi Arabia our ally? So, I put a link in from last year, y'all, from New York Times, Room for Debate. The threatened value of Saudi Arabia.
On paper, they're an ally.
Yes.
On paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia has never been a true friend of the United States because of its extremeness is not... Okay. Islamic ideology, but for decades it has been an important ally. We share many important strategic interests. I can't say that. Rihadi, R-I-Y-A-D-H, is not necessarily a stabilizing force in the region. So, from that, Egypt's military has been a long-standing ally of the United States and our Israeli and Arab allies and share our emphasis towards the Iranian regime. So, not sure if that answers it or not, other than what I believe it was Joe that said, and I could be wrong, that it's on paper that they're our ally.
Yeah, we have allies because we buy them, but we have no friends.
Story of my life.
Of convenience. If it's convenient for them right now, they're allies. As soon as some imam stands up and says, "Oh my God," they're no longer. Then that's it. We're no longer allies. You know, I'm on your page, Antoinette. I'm reading a comment by somebody. Who would put in the comment in 2013, he says, "We have no friends in the Middle East.
We have several friends in Europe, plus Canada, Australia, and Japan. I wouldn't even call them a friend, or collectively as friends.
You on the link that I put in, Joe?
Yeah, I'm reading the New York Times article, and underneath are comments made by people who read the article.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think Jake might have got a point on that one. That's true.
You know, I'm sure people have read The Economic Hitman by, I forgot his name, John somebody or other. That explains everything about foreign policy.
Yeah. But the debaters have good points, too. You know, you see where it has the debaters at the bottom?
Well, let me get there again. Who in particular? I'll just go there.
Well, even the first one, useful leverage in the right circumstances.
Right circumstances. I'll get there in a second.
And then the other one has friend or foe. It depends on the agenda.
Okay, I got it.
Yep,
it depends upon the agenda. Well, of course, if we're buying people, they're going to be our friends. If we're a superpower, they're going to be kind of weary of us and leery of us, but they're going to try to share in our power. So it just makes sense. But Saudi Arabia got ripped off by Kissinger years and years ago, and I don't think they're going to really look forward to us as being their international leader.
No.
Yeah, but Saudi's about to run out of oil, too. That's another thing I've been told.
They're running out of oil?
Yep.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, their wells are going dry.
I don't think that's going to happen in my lifetime.
I don't know. Just, you know, rumor. I don't have nothing to back that.
Yeah.
Okay, Iggy's mom has put a link in the chat room. I'm pulling it up now, Iggy. Thank you.
Hi, Iggy.
Can somebody explain to me, without laughing, why is Israel an ally, or why do we, or the United States government and the people, why do we consider Israel such an important ally? We're giving them $2 to $3 billion a year. What have they given to us in return? I want to know.
That's a good question. I've been asked that before. And
I have a feeling without our backing, they would have ceased to exist by now.
Very possibly. But now they've got the rumor is they have their own atomic weapons, so they don't need us anymore. You know, I've even asked the Jews, give me 5 examples of why Israel is worth $2 to $3 billion a year. I never got an answer.
Well, Iggy's mom said, because it's the only democracy in the Middle East.
It's an island surrounded over there. It's like a base of, it keeps a balance. They'd probably look at it as a balance beam, you know what I mean, in the center there. Otherwise, if that was gone and it was just Palestinian, I don't know.
Well, the fact that it's a democracy means that it's a democracy, but why are they, as a democracy, worth $2 to $3 billion a year? Out of my taxpayer money.
Because the lobbyists that they have here in the U.S.
We also need to fly over space. Iggy said we also need to fly over space.
Well, I'm sure we have. Well, maybe yes. Okay.
I mean, the only thing I can do is go back to the Bible, is that, you know, those that bless Israel, you know, God will bless.
Oh, yeah,
them,
no.
So.
I've heard that.
I can
too.
Only take it from a biblical point on why we're so supportive of Israel. I mean, and I tell my daughter-in-law, I don't mind, you know, helping Israel, and, you know, but I said, but when you go out and you start trouble, then I believe you're on your own. And if you're going to, you know, play the big man and you got to go out and you start trouble, then back it up, you know. Then that's your fight. Don't try to pull everyone else in your fight that
watch,
you started.
Watch out, Antoinette. You're beginning to sound like an isolationist.
Like a what?
Isolationist.
Why is that?
Well, people like myself, libertarians, we don't want to interfere in other people's affairs. We only believe that we should actually attack nations when either they're going to attack us in a very imminent way or they have attacked us. If you don't, and if you believe in that, rather, if you believe in that philosophy, you're deemed an isolationist.
Well, I don't believe in getting... I believe if you're big enough to go out there and throw out a whole bunch of stuff to start trouble, then be big and bad enough to handle yourself. If you can't, then don't go out and start trouble.
Yep.
No, knowing that you can't handle it. But you're looking for everybody else to pick up the slack for you when you're the one who started it. Now, if you're being picked on and, you know, they jump up and they start trouble with you, then that's a different story. But I personally believe that the United States gets into things that is none of our business, and we need to mind our business. We have too many problems that are going on here instead of trying to police the world. So now, not only are they policing the world, they're policing the people here, too. You know, when you're looking at everyone as terrorists, you know, maybe you should look in the mirror and you can see who the real terrorist is. Because when you're throwing out a whole bunch of name-calling, you're talking about yourself. You're talking about your own insecurities.
Remember the article that I put up yesterday about how the government's paranoid?
Yes. And that was very good. Thank you so much for doing that.
Well, it's true.
Yes, it is. And they are paranoid.
Well, the government, you know, they have a right to be paranoid. If American people wake up, it's a wrap. It's all over for them.
Yes, but that's what people are doing.
I said that earlier, folks. I said that, you know, they're... scared of themselves, you know. They've gotten big. They're scared of themselves. I mean, look, they got laws. They got, you know, no, you're a whistleblower. If you tell the truth about something, you're bad. Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always going to be somebody on the inside going, whistleblow. So, yeah, wow. That don't tell you something's really wrong. Wow. That's some crazy shit. I haven't heard much about Snowden lately. Have you heard anything on him? What his latest?
Yeah, you know, well, just a couple weeks ago, wasn't he on television?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
You know, Greenwald just a couple of days ago said there was a new, the most impressive release of information is forthcoming.
I'm sorry, Joe, could you say that again?
Yeah, Greenwald said that the most impressive information from Snowden will be coming soon. The biggest blockbuster set of information is coming. About the day, either yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
When does it come out on DVD?
Okay.
Yeah, the Snowden affair?
It's going to be on Blu-ray.
Huh?
Now, I have a crazy question to ask. And of course, this is just going to have to be people's opinions, not unless someone has some proof that, you know, I never heard of, not that I hear of everything. But could this whole Snowden thing be a distraction for something bigger?
Should be.
I heard of that. Personally, if it is, then that's the kind of distraction I want to get into, because he's revealed a lot of useful information about what the NSA was doing, something that we all should know about. So if he's going to be the red herring, hey, I want more red herrings like him.
Yeah, but what did he reveal basically that, I mean, not that his information was not important and useful, but wasn't it almost like, I can't think of the word, but, you know, you have suspicions about different things. Didn't I just, you know, verify them?
Well, sure, but he also put everything into the forefront of the news. Number one, when he left America to go to Russia, that activity alone was going to make him the center of attention for a while, because now
yeah.
the label of traitor was being put on him, whereas other whistleblowers, they usually got, you know, papered over within about a week or so. And, yeah, some of the stuff that he revealed, I knew about, other people knew about. But at the same time, people have a tendency to forget the news.
Of course.
You know, so years ago, the NSA or whatever agency was involved in spying then that people knew about, people had realized that's what they were doing. But since there wasn't anything else in the news at that time to continue that particular item, what happened? People forgot about it. So Snowden did a favor by allowing people to really realize just how, you know, pervasive this stuff is. And now some court decisions have come down with decisions that should make people happy. So again, if
okay,
he's arrested,
but was that used to pacify? Was that used to pacify us? Because let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he is really deemed a spy and he's done such terrible things, and Russia has, you know, given him a home, you know, you're free here, you know, we'll protect you, why did we still have send our people over there for the Olympics?
Well, I would imagine just for international goodwill, and if not that, then of course politics is playing its smoke and mirrors again. Dog
yeah,
because
wouldn't that make Russia like our enemy? Okay, you have the person over there that has the American secret
mm-hmm.
that can give it to you at any time. So we're going to send citizens over there to play a game.
Uh-huh.
That was my whole point. That was it.
Oh. Okay.
I should have said period afterwards.
I'm waiting for the punchline. It's coming. It's coming.
No punchline.
Well, I mean, what's the difference between him and Assange? People love Assange and people criticize Assange, but apparently, Assange is, you know, somebody that the government considers to be a very important figure, because he's still in, what's that country whose embassies he's residing in now?
I don't recall.
Is that Assad from Syria? Assad or Assange?
No, Assange.
Oh, no, I don't know.
You know, so, I mean, it's basically the same thing. But any time that you can reveal that the United States is not as transparent as they say they are, that they are spying on us, you know how, in my opinion, do you know how important that is to me? Because if the NSA can get along, because a lot of people will say, you know, I don't care. I mean, I'm not doing anything. But there are other people whose privacy they want to protect, not because they're criminals, but because they just don't want their affairs and their private lives being disseminated by the government, being on their computers and being used, and here's my point, being used
right.
for blackmail. If the NSA is as pervasive as it is, and it is, if you take a look at their echelon building, then what happens? You do not have a jury system anymore. If the NSA has a certain person that they want to protect on trial, can't they, through their invasion of privacy, go to anybody who's been selected on the jury and say, you know what, I kind of think you should vote this way, otherwise your wife will know that you've got a boyfriend and a girlfriend. So, there goes, you know, privacy is privacy for a reason. It's to keep government from blackmailing us. No, that's one thing. And if people didn't want privacy...
It's the manipulation game.
Of
you're the next contestant on manipulation.
Look what they did with an O'Flynn
list. The government.
That
yeah.
was the beginning of your show tonight, Antoinette and Ron,
uh-huh.
talking about
right.
the government. Right? And Mike, didn't you bring that up?
I didn't catch that. I didn't catch that. I caught that
about
yesterday.
Which one? Maybe Mike brought it up.
Well, it was one.
Bringing up a board about Muslims?
Yeah, about the lawsuit that the Muslims had won because they had been threatened. Or was it George? Well, anyway.
Maybe George brought it up.
Well, anyway, somebody was on the panel here, and they were talking about
bribery. Look, we'll do this for you if you were about. Yeah, who was it that just mentioned that?
Excuse me. I think it was George.
Yeah.
Was it George?
Yeah. We'll
all
give
right.
you citizenship for.
Yeah.
And the Muslims had started a lawsuit against the government and won.
Yep.
Because they were told that they were going to be placed on the terrorist no-fly list. But then the government came back to them and said, we'll take you off the list if you become our snitches.
Right.
So the same thing could apply when the NSA is invading our privacy. We'll take you off our computers, which, of course, they'll be lying about, if you vote or not, if you vote guilty or if you vote not guilty. So there goes our jury system. That's the way I take it out to its, you know, not extreme example, but, you know, a few light years ahead.
No, I mean, the whole system is just, yeah. I don't even know where to begin with it. And it's even worse for me because, Joe, I specialize in World War II. I'm a historian of World War II, and the parallels that I see, so many things
mm-hmm.
that, and I see them from the building blocks, from the decisions that were made and what was created in World War II by the Nazi Party and the system, how they built it, how they created what they did, and I see so much of it. And luckily, I see some things also disintegrating, like what Obama was doing, and his attack on the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
I see that falling apart, luckily, because it was in full force in 2009, where he wanted federal control of everything and the federal unions getting controlled,
mm-hmm.
taking work away from the private sector, attacking the contractors and getting away with it because everybody was sick of KBR and Halliburton and everything else, and he was getting away with it, and it kept working until he ran out of money. The minute he started running out of money and everything started really going to shit around 2012, it started happening. He had less money to go. Now he couldn't start hiring more and more federal employees, which was what he was doing. And he couldn't convert the contractors into federal employees, which the unions wanted because that fed them. So it started unraveling. And right now I see more of it unraveling of his plans. And he's desperately trying to hang on, but he knows he's only got till 2016. So executive power is the one thing that he has where, you know, the I've got a pen deal, where he
yeah.
can go in. And I really think 2015 is going to be a scary year for us. We've got to get through the rest of the year, I have no doubt. But the closer we get to 2016, when he knows the time is going by, the clock's
ticking. Yeah, when he's lame duck, yeah.
And he's going to try to do as much as he can for his agenda on his own, and it's going to be a battle. Like, and it shows it today. What was that that comment that he made to Boehner? Did you hear that? Sue
no.
me.
Mm-mm.
He made a comment
oh.
to Boehner.
Mm-hmm.
Sue me. Now,
I didn't know he made it directly to Boehner. I don't like to call that guy Boehner. Everybody
yeah.
spells his name B-O-E-H-N-E-R and says it's Boehner. That
yeah.
means he got his ass kicked when he was a kid because his name
probably.
Is Boehner.
yeah, but that was the headline. Even the newspapers, even I think the Washington Post
yeah, I mean, yeah.
put in there that they're little by little, I'm seeing more of the media finally turning a little bit. I think there's a huge what the hell's going on here, going on with them. But history, it shows it, and I just see so much of it. So much of it, it's just unbelievable. And it's scary shit. Even about, like we were talking the other night, with Golf Dogs brought it up about resettlement, about the kids being brought across the border. And I've been reading some of the comments from the more liberal that are out there that don't see any issue with it, and who cares what government laws and everything there are. It doesn't matter. These are people that are in need, and we should be considerate. We should... wait a minute. There are laws that... It doesn't matter about the laws. We should be more humane, and have to...
Mm-hmm.
It just... And comparing it with myself, seeing what they did, what the Nazis did with resettlement. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, we should be more humane. Well, how about American-born, natural-born citizens? How about us? How about the fact that even though we were lucky enough to have been born in this country, that means we have first dibs. And we have to have 20 to 30 million illegals over here, and now the kids, of which they have parents who will follow. You know why?
Yep.
Because I think the State Department, if not the State Department, this is a rumor, I can't verify this, but they're supposedly letting people know in Guatemala and some of the other Latin American countries, hey, come on over. Okay? They're sending out leaflets. Come on over.
And nobody in Congress is questioning why the government issued that RFI, Request for Information, where they were looking for vendors. In January 29th.
In January of this year, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's asking about it.
Yeah. Well, I got a copy of it, so.
Yeah, it's still on the web.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm a government contractor. I see that stuff and deal with those sites all the time. And for them to put it out, it's not something, Freddie, here, list this on Fed Biz Ops. No, it takes time. They were probably working on it to get funding and everything else and get the machine in place for a good month or two.
Yeah,
so
and
that
all...
means this was in the plan. This is in the plan since November, at least December, possibly even November.
Which
so,
shows that nobody should have been taken by surprise when we hear that 10,000 child illegals have crossed the border in a month.
Nope.
Jeez, really?
Yeah. Hmm. And the bit
of mind if I jump in?
Sure, the water's fine.
Let's hope so. Joe, look, the simple fact is our government, or so-called government, has been, how can I put this without sounding too conspiracy theorist in nature?
Do it. Go for it, George.
They've been doing this kind of stuff for years, even before Obama got in.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, bottom line for me... When I saw that FBO page that Mike was talking about, and the number of people that they wanted to, quote-unquote, accommodate, I damn near fell out of my chair. We're supposed to... We have veterans in this country, people who served in the military, that, quite frankly, are living... on the streets that aren't getting proper medical care because the VA system is flawed, but yet they're willing to help bend over backwards and tell the American people to bend over and take it up the, well, we won't go there that far, but you get the idea, that this is what they're going to do and we have to like it without actually coming out and saying it.
Excuse me, George. I have to say this really quick, y'all. We have a bad storm here, and the winds are supposed to get really, really bad. They're supposed to be really high. I'm going to have to hang up because I got to run out back and put the things in my shed so that they don't go flying all over the place.
We'll come back afterwards, even if you're wet and squishy. It's okay. We don't mind.
No. Well, the show is over with in 15 minutes. But I got to go take care of this because I don't want anything to go flying through somebody's window when somebody give me a bill.
All right. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, Antoinette.
Okay, thank you all for coming. It was
be safe.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely be safe.
I will. Thank you.
So, you know.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye. So, Joe, bottom line, you know, I don't trust the government as far as I can throw it, and that's not very far at all. But I'm going to be blunt. What in the fucking hell are we supposed to do about it?
Well, I have a solution, which isn't really a solution. It's more of a goal, because a lot of people take a look at their particular solutions, and I have to remind them a solution without a strategy is not a solution. So here's my solution. Same thing. The strategy would be Herculean in effort. If, okay, now that big two, that biggest one-syllable, two-letter word in the English language, if people could just vote for an independent, any independent, instead of a Democrat or Republican, this coming election or any election for the next 2 to 4 years, if that could be done, then we have a clean sweep of Congress. 435 scumbags would be cleaned up, swooped up, hosed off, gotten rid of, to be replaced by people who may not be as politically savvy as the Democrats and Republicans, but they're not career politicians, and I'd rather entrust my political faith to 435 people who believe in the Constitution, as bumbling as they may be, than 435 career politicians. Now, how do we get that to be done? Ah, the fly in the ointment. I do not know.
No, there's more to that, though. You didn't. That would be step one. The step two would be to get the people that replace all the assholes and the useless ones to pass laws, term limits on staffers. All the professional career staffers in Washington and everything else, that's it. There's a term limit on how long you get. You can't go for 20, 25 years serving as a professional staffer from one politician to the next and carry all the poison and venom with you from one to the next to the next to the next. They've got to be taken out also.
And I agree with you, because they're nothing more than emissaries.
They're the ones behind the curtains that we never see, and they're the ones that keep sharing the power. And the connections are never lost. They've got to go.
Agreed.
Yeah. Oh, everybody overlooks them.
I don't overlook them, Mike. The simple fact is, you're not going to get all of these career politicians out of there. That's number one. Okay? And for all the new people that go in, you know, that are unaware of what to expect when they get into Congress or the Senate, here's the problem. It's like vultures circling a carcass. They are going to go after, they'll walk up to those newcomers and sway them and persuade them to their side by sending their staffers to do the job. They won't do it themselves necessarily, but
Thank
they'll send
you.
Their staffers.
Who is that melodic voice I just heard speaking?
Oh, no. Oh, Chewie.
Who is that? Sounds familiar. Where have I heard you before?
My favorite disruptor.
Who's that?
Joe, before I forget, I'd like to congratulate you on the shortest Blog Talk Radio career ever. What was it, two shows?
Probably less.
But I enjoyed it. It was,
You
rage quit the first one, and I
Well, the one that you were
that.
On, yeah. And then after that, yeah.
Why is that?
Well,
so let me ask the person who said he was, he saw the specs for handlers for the children, right? Do you still believe the government's 9/11 story, or do you believe it was an inside job?
Okay.
What are you talking about? We saw the evidence that it was that they were handling this from the beginning. The evidence is on the internet.
I understand that, but that's not what I asked you. After seeing now that government really is capable of almost anything, do you believe the government's story on 9/11?
Well, it's different because I'm in New York.
Yeah.
And we live through it. Whereas somebody that lives out of state, somebody from
what
another state,
What does that
state,
mean? I'm in Philadelphia. I lived through it less than you?
Well, a little bit, because, well, as far as myself and like
there.
George, a little bit more, yeah, we did go through it a little bit more than you.
But why does that impact the question I just asked you?
No, so yes, I do, as I'm answering you by it, because I fed the guys, I'm a government contractor, I feed military, and I was feeding firsthand the guys when they were coming through. I deal with them as they come back and forth from the city. I deal with them and talk to them nonstop. I saw the blank stares. I deal with the guys in the mess hall when the guys had come back after sitting there for 30, 40 hours picking up body parts and dealing with it. And people that were down there that saw the planes going in. Because a lot of our guys were down in the New York City. I mean, a lot of the 69th Infantry, if you take a look at it, it's 69th, 105th Infantry. These guys are from down in the city and saw the planes going in.
Could we start just from you answering my question? Do you believe the government story or not?
Yeah, and a lot of the guys that went into the rubble and everything else, some of the guys were EOD guys. And even on their own, they were looking through and went through in the basements to the mall down below, looking for evidence themselves of everything. There was nothing. It was rubble from the plane.
Mike, since you lived in New York, all people...
Hold on a second. There was evidence...
No. I'm
going to
answer the question that you...
No, I answered it. I answered it.
I'm going to answer it to Jewish satisfaction anyway.
So you believe the government had any involvement?
You don't think they told us the truth?
No, you're expanding and changing it now.
The first part, Mike lived in New York. Therefore, he must have felt it more than anybody else in the nation. That's number one.
Living in New York makes him an expert.
Doesn't make him an expert. You asked him about how he felt. You brought that up. The second part of your question
I didn't ask you how you feel. I asked you whether you believe the government.
That was the second part of your question. Second part is, okay, now Mike can answer your second part.
Why are you answering it?
Because I want this to keep on moving.
We want to keep moving. Don't keep holding it down. You know what I mean? We're not going to play a game with it. I'm telling you straight. I mean, I've got a different perspective than you do because I went through it and dealt with the people and lived it in a way. I mean, hours. You know how many 22-hour days I worked because of it? Guys going back and forth and dealing with these guys. Dealing with the guys telling their family members looking for their family
problems. How is the amount of time
let me jump in here.
How is that relative to the...
So you're asking me relevance. I'm telling you relevance.
How is that relevant to the government telling the truth? How many hours you worked a day?
Hello?
Hi,
can I jump in, guys?
Sure, who are you?
This is George from Firefox and is online.
Oh, hey, George.
Now, not only am I a radio host, but long before I became a radio host, I was a soldier in the state military.
Well, wait a minute. You're a radio host of BTR?
That's right.
Okay, please don't say you're a radio host. I think of terrestrial radio, real radio, hundreds of thousands of listeners.
We're getting off on a tangent.
Don't bring up BTR.
You're really not helping matters.
Yeah,
okay.
It sort of helped a little bit.
All right,
so whatever. But
this is a sport for you.
Let me finish
this
what I was saying, okay?
Beasley.
Let George finish, Drew.
Go ahead, George.
Look, when I was activated within 2 hours of the initial attacks.
Yes. Okay.
I saw with my own eyes those planes go right into the towers. I spoke to guys from EOD. That came through at Camp Smith, who went through the rubble, just like Mike did. And they said there was no evidence of any kind of explosive device in the basement. Nothing. Plane parts, plenty of them, but no explosive devices. So what most people tend to think is, when you ask the question, do you believe the government's official story? Why not just not worry about what their official story is and ask yourself, what are the people who actually were down there pulling body parts, pulling up the plane parts? What did they see? What do they know? What is their position, their official story? Because they're the ones who are there. They're the ones who know better than anyone else. And I would trust the guys from EOD to tell me the straight skinny on what was down there more than I would some conspiracy theorist in Omaha, Nebraska,
well,
with
let
a
me,
website.
Let me step in for a second. The first responders, they absolutely witnessed a horrific event. The thing is, though, when Drew asked the question, it is a relevant question, okay? Does the government lie to us or not? If we believe if the government is a bunch of corrupt liars, are we going to accept the official story? It's a reasonable question.
It's a reasonable question, but you have to ask yourself, when you ask that question, you have to ask yourself, am I going to get an answer to that question with added information? Absolutely. Do I trust the government story? Whether I trust it or not is irrelevant. I trust more of what guys who had boots on the ground at ground zero than I do a politician. So the bottom line for me is I'll trust my fellows before I trust a politician.
You know what? I think as far as 9/11 goes, I think there's probably a lot of cover-ups for the incompetence. And you saw it afterwards where agencies were pointing at each other, wait a minute, how come you didn't know? Well, I didn't know, but we had reports of this, that this was supposed to, but nobody, well, it wasn't reported up to us. Well, oh my God. And now the finger-pointing started and the game started. What they did was they covered the incompetence of the system. You know that, like I said before, that one thing, one hand doesn't know what the other's doing? It's not a case of that. There are too many hands. The octopus is too big. There are too many ministries, too many Reich Marshals that are out there, and one agency doesn't talk with the other one and share information. Now supposedly they are, and what's the end result? We're getting a police state out of it. Thank you very much.
Can I say something here real quick?
Yeah.
What it boils down to, regardless about 9/11, Oklahoma City, Waco, Texas, 93, these people are a bunch of lying bunch of bastards. That's the bottom line. They will lie to you and look at you straight in the eyes and still lie to you. It has been documented throughout history, American history, even world history, that governments will lie to the people.
Oh, they cover stuff up all the time.
Yeah, they cover stuff up all the time.
Sure.
Gulf of Tonkin, the JFK, Oklahoma City. I mean, every major event, the drug industry, the vaccine, the chemtrails, all this bullshit. Okay, they are lying about something. Okay, bottom line. Regardless of what the conspiracy is, it doesn't matter. It could be the conspiracy that
I was unmuted in the first place.
Yeah, and.
Y'all
they
know I was muted the whole time, right?
Yeah,
no, I didn't know
put
that.
This out.
Yeah, of course. I've been muted for 5 minutes.
To continue the bullshit that they have that's all going all the time to keep the people in fear. What is the best control factor besides food and water is fear. They can keep the fear going. Oh, you know, the boogeyman's going to get you when you step outside your door. That kind of shit. Oh, look at the guns. Oh, they're bad. Oh, the Founding Fathers were terrorists. Which is a bunch of damn lies. You know that.
That's great,
but
I ask a question again. You now you're telling me the government lied to us in January. They knew that they were going to have this influx of all these people, sick people too, and
they
all still believe 9/11. You think the government tells the truth on that, but they don't tell the truth over here.
The option is saying that the government lies to us about everything.
Well, I think that's
they lied about everything.
They're
natural born liars.
It goes beyond lying. When everybody says lying, it has this benign tone to it, like something of incompetence happened, and then the government just lied about it to cover their ass. It goes beyond that. 9/11 is more than just lying about the fact that they might have known that it was going to happen. They caused 9/11. They didn't wait for it to happen. They caused it. How did they cause it? Nobody really knows for sure, but does that mean that they didn't? When you take a look at the Architects for Truth, 1,300 architects have said you can't have buildings falling the way that they did as a result of the fucking kerosene from planes.
Look at the 9/11. Look at the Pilots Association.
I'm a pilot.
I was watching. an interview with the people who designed the Twin Towers.
Is that right?
They
what
came
they
right
say?
Out and said that they designed the Twin Towers to collapse
to
the way it did. It was revolutionary.
The way it did? No, it, no they
did. Did not. You should no, be clear that is. I'll tell you what they said. I watched interviews of the architects. In fact, it was a Japanese guy who was one of the architects, and he said very clearly, the buildings were built to the highest standards. In fact, the buildings are still modern construction. They were built to withstand not one jet filled with fuel, but two or three jets filled with fuel and still stay standing. You didn't see anything like that. I challenge that statement that you just made because I challenge it as nonsense.
Well, here's another interesting fact.
No, don't give me another interesting thing.
That is nonsense.
You
just
said
your statement is nonsense.
Barry just said that.
Obviously,
we're going to
go back and forth on this all
where is it? You said you saw an interview. Tell me where you saw the interview. Where is it?
I saw it on NBC News.
You did? When?
2003.
Let me ask you a question. How many tall buildings fell the day of 9/11?
Let's see. Old Twin Towers.
There were three buildings that fell down.
How many?
Okay.
Three.
Y'all talking about 9/11, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Michael Hood, you stand down, Michael Hood. Don't you dare jump in yet.
No.
I'm not done yet, Michael
Hood. I want to hear what he has to say.
No, I want to hear what you have to say, because are you the one that just claimed that you watched
and you
the interview and they said the buildings were designed to fall down?
When
Hold
did
on
you
a second.
See?
What kind of a sales
Red,
pitch is that?
Joe, it's possible he's
let me
tall because there are architects
that
want to throw... Wait a minute, Joe.
Let me say
I'm with the Jew on this one. The architects who built the World Trade Center said that what he might have seen probably were not the architects of the World Trade Center. There are architects like those with NIST who have said
Hold on, Joe.
Okay, what?
You have a building. You got a bunch of architects. They're designing a building, and they design a building so that if it's hit by airplanes, it falls down. Now, exactly what kind of selling point is that? Because I'd like to know who's going to want to
tell
work
you,
in that building.
I'm going to tell you. Jew, I'm
ahead,
agreeing
ahead,
with
Joe.
You.
Go ahead and explain it, Joe.
Jew, I'm agreeing with the Jew. First
I
of all, he
you.
Saw
no,
the...
I agree with the Jew, too. I just want to know what happened to the Pentagon. Everybody said
oh,
that
I'm,
plane
I'm getting to that about mm-hmm. NORAD. I'm
Michael
getting to that.
Hood, wait a second.
But here's the
so
Jew point, and I'm backing up this. The architects, the people who built
the so what you're saying is the government planted bombs in the building and took them down themselves.
Yes,
why'd you say
thermite.
That?
It was thermite. Thermite burned down the steel
Hood.
That
stop,
made them
stop,
collapse
stop.
When the buildings...
Michael Hood, you're ahead of yourself. No, I didn't say that. You didn't hear me say that, did you?
No,
what
you
I said
that,
was, did
it.
You believe... I know you're saying it. I asked you, do you believe what the government told you happened on 9/11?
No, it was
I
a lie.
I told you the government did it. Michael Hood, who's talking to you? Stand down!
Sorry,
hey, he's
I'm,
got just as much.
He's allowed, to come
don't
in here, Jew. I want the question answered myself.
I'll be quiet. Go ahead, Jew and Joe. Y'all go ahead.
I said, do you believe what the government told you about 9/11 in light of all the other lies that the government has told us over the years? But then you say to me that you watched an interview of architects that said that they built the building to do what? To disintegrate, to fall down? To look like a demolition? What exactly did this architect tell
okay,
you?
Okay, let me answer that question so we can move
Why can't
on.
He answer it? He's the one that
because
said
Because I wanted to move on. I'm going
to
answer the question for him. He doesn't like my answer. He can jump in
question.
And then he can just give his opinion on that. Here's
I
what happened.
Running
you,
from the
you
question.
Saw an interview of the architects of the World Trade Center say what they had done with regards to the World Trade Center. He probably... listened to or saw an interview of different architects. If you remember, Jew, not everybody
Why
was...
Why can't we get this guy to answer his own question?
Not
Joe?
Everybody
Why are you
came together and said
the building fell down because of this reason, or the building fell down because of this reason.
You're talking about Building 7?
That's the short answer.
No, we're
George
not talking
can
about Building 7. We're talking about...
No, obviously you did an adequate job answering, and you guys have all the answers. You don't need to hear from me.
Oh, no, okay. I want to hear from you, George.
You heard enough. I'm not going to sit here and go back and forth with you all fucking
night. Well, tuck tail and run then. All right. Tuck it between your legs and run.
So, Michael, you're here. Don't let the Jew intimidate you.
Well, no, I mean, I just want to understand. I mean, we had the 9/11. We had a attack. So y'all thinking what happened to World Trade Center 1 and World Trade Center 2? What happened to that and got attacked by that?
No, obviously they don't want to hear that.
Say that again, Mike.
Tower 1 and Tower 2. Let's call it Tower 1 and Tower 2.
Right.
Cover that. Tower 1 and Tower 2.
Uh-huh. What's your question on it?
So we had Tower 1, 2 collapse.
Right.
We had the Pentagon get hit.
Right.
We had another plane went down in Pennsylvania. Was it in Pennsylvania or something?
With nobody, I don't think anybody was picked up from that so-called crash, right?
Yeah, nothing. They found
hole,
and that was it.
No blood,
no
bones,
nothing.
Right.
We had the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
Pentagon had, how many cameras the Pentagon had? Over 85 cameras surrounding the Pentagon.
Well, the FBI
only
picked them all up,
picked
right?
It up.
Mm-hmm.
And what the camera picked up, it showed no plane. It showed a missile hitting the Pentagon, right?
Well, I saw a video of a so-called plane hitting the Pentagon.
Okay, now
I know what you mean.
Together now, when the missile hit the Pentagon, guess where it hit at? With Donald Rumsfeld talking about he lost his how many trillions of dollars did he lost it the day before? We had the black lady. Had the black lady say that there was no plane that hit the Pentagon because they had when they hit that. That was the information they had. They need to cover up when the missile hit the Pentagon because all that money was missing.
But the imprint in the wall of the Pentagon did not come from a plane. Okay, it did not show wings and it didn't show the engines. So I'm with you on that.
But you got most. I talked to plenty of Americans. I got my own conspiracy show. And you got plenty of Americans saying that a plane hit this. And I asked them, how did the plane hit it? But there is no evidence of a plane that can go low, below deck like that.
You can explain that.
How can you go below altitude and be below deck when a big passenger, what's the passenger plane that they had that they hit the Pentagon? Passenger what? What was the plane? What was the name of the plane? What was the thing? A plane that big size cannot go that low below altitude.
Well, it can't.
It was a 737, right?
Not a 737.
Okay, a 737 can go below 500 feet because if you look at the Pentagon, you look how high the Pentagon is. The Pentagon is not that damn high, so a plane that size and below deck cannot really go. The plane will hit the damn fucking lawn before it even hits the damn building.
Wait a minute. It wouldn't necessarily hit the ground, but the turbulence. With those jet engines running at full power, that thing would be shaking so bad up and down, the pilot wouldn't even be able to control it. You could not control it by power.
Gunslinger, then you have to look at the debris. Come on now, debris.
I'm saying that because of the speed and its low altitude, what they claim, the aircraft was it was supposed to have been so low to the ground that the ground turbulence and all this in the vibrations and everything.
The buffering up of the air because of the airspeed of the airplane would have prevented the plane from being
flown the way that it
supposedly did. Like I said, you can explain
this.
We
solved that problem that the airspeed and turbulence, but look at the debris now. Because once the plane would have hit into the Pentagon, don't you think the plane, the wings will break off and the fuselage will all break off and you'll have things scattered everywhere across the lawn?
I totally agree, but there was no that whole side of that Pentagon was so clean you could eat off of it. So where's the fuel?
Here's the thing. Here's the major thing for me. Okay, I don't care how supposedly the sorties or the 19 people who supposedly hijacked the planes got the planes into the towers, into the Pentagon, etc. How did NORAD stand down for 45 minutes? We are the most protected city in the world. We, the Vatican, and some other cities,
Moscow, the most protected city in the world, and we let them fly around for 45 fucking minutes?
Nah, Joe, because the government was dealing with this. They was part of the plan.
That's my point.
And you know what? When you say that, Joe, when you say that, when we all say this, they're going to call us kooks. They're going to call us crazy. They're going to say we're conspiracy nuts. They're going to say we don't know what we're talking about. But the facts speak for itself, man. We don't have to theorize no more. It's conspiracy. Back now. It ain't conspiracy.
Well, yeah, well, look,
no
look
more.
At this. Harry Reid has called everybody domestic terrorists, so why not commercial conspiracy
theorists? That's where it's all going. The word terrorist, what do you think it means? It means NDAA. It doesn't mean you're
that's
a criminal
right.
anymore.
The terrorist is Congress, because if you look at, you know, when you tell a lie, if you tell a lie long enough, people believe it, because if you look at George Bush, you look at Harry Reid, you look at Hillary Clinton, and you look at damn Joe Biden, you look at all these policies talking about terrorists, all that damn time, terrorists, mass destruction, terrorists. They put it in our mind for us to believe a lie. So now we believe that there's terrorists overseas, but really the terrorists is our own damn government now.
Mm-hmm. Jew, are you on mute?
Go ahead, you say, Joe?
Yes, yes.
No, I haven't heard the Jew. He's got to be
on
mute.
I don't
send
personal attacks, man. I hate to
get dicked
about that.
Oh,
okay.
It's rude. I don't like
it.
Who you muted,
Ron?
I'll
mute
anybody. I'm a master of the mute button. You know me, man.
Yeah, you are the mute.
I'm a master of mute. I don't fuck around.
But no, I don't attack nobody, man. I just want everybody to wake up.
Well, I understand.
Up,
you said something to George about Texas Tales and shit like that. Fuck ain't gonna jive it, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, you know. Right. Anyway, dude, I'm out of time. I got to go to work in the morning.
You got a job, Ron? What happened here? What happened to the unemployment rate?
No.
Hey, you're ruining the unemployment rate, Ron. Don't you know that?
I have to physically work tomorrow, goddammit.
Holy
shit. Yeah, fuck.
Hey, but Ron, you can let us run overtime, Ron. It'll cut off by itself.
Hard times have hit me, man. You know what I mean? I got to swing that fucking axe.
It's a conversation, Ron. You got to let us run, Ron. Let me win it, Ron. Please,
man,
Ron, just one time, Ron. Can you please let me do
it,
Ron?
How many people voting for it? You fuck it up and come to get you.
I don't mind,
get me, Ron.
Personally, because I'm not,
I'll
never get up in the morning. I've got residual income.
But this, I guess
Joe,
Ron, please, Ron, please.
I'm getting ready
time,
for a
Ron,
gig
please,
Friday
please.
Night. Matter of fact, I hope internet's still listening, hopefully. I will not be here Friday night. Sorry about that. I have a gig to play, so. I have to go to Kansas City, Missouri.
Let it run, Ron, because I want to talk to Joe, man. I want to talk. I guess Mike on the phone and George. I want to talk to them.
Well, I'm going
to
be calling tonight pretty soon. I'm not staying up late.
And if you want to, you can let the Jew back in, unless the guy say no. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Well,
listen, have a good time at that gig. Good luck.
Don't let him in.
it's just going to be us on the phone. Once Ron goes to sleep, there is no phone calls no more. Phone calls are done. It just be whoever's on the phone now, and that's it. Once it cuts off at 3 o'clock,
that's
done. That's why I let Ron run now.
I think the Jew is back.
I could let him back in, but I don't want him cussing at Jarge or fucking with Jarge or nobody else, man.
No, I don't blame
you. If you're listening to me, if you behave yourself and don't personally attack nobody, I'll let you back in. Quit being a dick. Don't be like me.
All right.
Why are you running interference for them? Aren't they men?
Well, I know that. I just don't like personal attacking, man. Fuck, you.
It's a sport.
It's cool, brother. Yeah, I know, but I don't know, man. You know, fuck. Be nice.
So when George writes it, when George tells me in the chat room that I'm just another BS conspiracy nut, that's not a personal attack, is it? Somebody who's afraid to stand up and back up the facts.
You're in here,
but
you're going to get yourself kicked out again.
Because you've been answering my questions.
But
go ahead, George. I'll stand up to you and not give you bullshit. I'll talk facts. I'm a pilot. Are you a pilot?
Ron, I take all responsibility.
Jew, what part of show me proof do you not understand? Okay, I told you I saw the interview on NBC News in 2003.
How is it that so many firefighters?
Let him finish,
for God's
sake.
You know what? You don't want to hear what I have to say? Then, you know what? Just don't ask me to say anything. Because if you're going to sit there and ask,
on NBC
here
News.
He goes. This
y'all
going
to make
fun of
me.
I
thought
I
fucking
answer
that
goddamn
question.
You,
don't make
you made a statement as if it was fact.
And you won't
let
me finish, so what's the point?
You have more statements to make?
You ask questions and you won't let me finish?
Uh-huh.
As soon as you come back here, you want to get yourself muted again.
What have you...
I want to hear what I have to say. Don't ask me to say anything, then.
You're the one that said I was full of shit, didn't you?
Hello?
Who's that, Antoinette?
Yes, I wanted to thank everyone for coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ron's letting the show go until the it cuts off.
We'll pick this conversation up tomorrow and continue it then.
Why?
Because it's 2:15 on the East Coast.
Well, if you want to go to sleep, dear, you can just go off to bed. What's the problem?
Yeah, you can just.
Well,
go,
you want to close the party down because you're unhappy?
Yes, dear, that's why.
I think all you have to do is hang up, and then I think the show continues, I believe. I'm not sure.
Go to bed, go off to bed.
But we can continue this conversation tomorrow.
How do you know that?
Ron and I would like to...
How do you know I'm going to be around tomorrow night? I'm here now. I'm here now, and I'm calling this guy out because I think he's telling...
I'm not going to argue with you, okay?
Well, good. Okay, go to bed. Good night.
The co-host wants to end the show.
Oh, yeah. You're the co-host of a BTR.
And you don't
we only got 45
you're
minutes
a BTR.
Left.
You're a radio host.
Oh, God. Can't people just...
Okay.
You're a radio
host
of BTR. Oh, my.
Okay.
I tell you.
I said...
I am
that was great. Thank you all for coming. Have a good night.
Yeah, that was great, Antoinette. You are an unbelievable wet blanket. Why is it you do that?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Absolutely. Listen to me.